Okay, here we go. So, it's Chatzayani Masker Ayoim. This was supposed to be Noidi Behuda Part 3. That's how we left off last week. This is going to be Noidi Behuda Part 3. We're going to get through his interplay or his Yachsus with Hasidim because somehow he managed to stay on good terms with the Hasidim. They liked him very much, especially with his time in the Broidi Klois, the Klois of Broidi. He was Chaverim with Reb Gershon Kitever, who was the Baal Shem Tov's Shvager, and Reb Chaim Tzanzer of Tzanz. We mentioned this many a time. So he definitely had very close ties with Hasidus, and yet you have the Tshuva against L'Shem Yichud. It's very anti-Hasidus. And we have to get back to that. Believe that there. It's a choy for next week. Next week we're going to do something not so good, but we're going to do Shagas Aryeh. He'll probably need a second week. We'll go back to Noidi Behuda and then go back to the Shagas Aryeh. But in Ma'al Asot, we have a Chayv. So we're up to the Shagas Aryeh. It was already posted, so that's it. We're going to do the Shagas Aryeh. So the Shagas Aryeh, what was his name? Shagas Aryeh Grada had a last name. Yeah. So it's interesting, yeah? They say Ginsburg? Ginsburg. They also say his last name was Wallerstein. Yeah? I don't know if he's related to Rav Zacharia. I don't know. But who else was from Wallerstein? The Tosfos Yontif is from Wallerstein. What? Who? Shagas Aryeh is not a Kohen. Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Lippman Heller. Yeah. Tosfos Yontif was a Lippman Heller from the city of Wallerstein. It wasn't a surname. He was from Wallerstein itself. Most surnames are cities, right? So, he was again, it's very hard to know, because when was he born? He was born in the year Tuf Nun Hei. We don't have anyone to bail us out. Are you bailing us out this week? Tuf Nun Hei, 1240, Tuf Nun Hei, 1695. 1695 is very, very early relative to the Achronim of the time. The Aruch Chaim is born 1696. Yeah? Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz is born 1690. Yeah, this is like, he's right in the thick of it. 1695, and his father was a rusher. Now, again? Yeah. The Gra, yeah, and he rather had Arichas Yamin. We're going to see. The Shagas Aryeh had big Arichas Yamin. So he spanned a lot of tkufas. So what happened was he was born to a Reb Usher who was a Rav in Pinsk. Now, all the Toldos Svarim, they say, the Pem Male, they all say, we don't know much about his early years, and that's it. Same, that's basically how they. We don't even know who his Rebbeim were. We know his father was a tremendous goyim. His name was Reb Usher. He was a Rav in Pinsk, and he wrote a sefer on Chesh Mishpat. He wrote a sefer on Chesh Mishpat, and it was lost. The manuscripts are referenced to, and they were lost. He was a tremendous goyim. Reb Usher Wallerstein had a son, Reb Aryeh Lane. Now, fast forward. Yeah, by the time he's in his 20s, he's already mechune, he's already nicknamed Reb Leib Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah? Now, supposedly, I forgot to check this up. I heard this recently, that in the first printing of Shagas Aryeh, so I don't know who printed it. I can't imagine. The story goes that he went to Germany himself to go and to print it, and he says, my name is Aryeh HaMechune Leib. Yeah, I'm a chun and leib. Rather, it's with two yuds, if I'm not mistaken. I was just schmoozing with the yid who said that it's machloikas, how bechlal, right? Seamus begitin, how do we go and write the name leib? Is it with one yud or two? The Shagas Aryeh wrote it with two. And nafkaminas, ladina, avada. There are nafkaminas, applications that it would have a halachic effect. And what happens is, he writes in the Sharblat of Shagas Aryeh that my name is Aryeh Amechune Leib Hanikre by the masses as Leib Rosh Yeshiva. So I don't know who wrote this, if he wrote it about himself, which is, you know, you gotta know who you got, right? There's an Oryal, Reb Leib Chasmin goes and writes, or Ish Moshe Anav An Moed in Parshas. I think this Aryal is in Balaischa. You gotta know what you got. You can't deny it. So I don't know who wrote that. Maybe the Shagas Aryeh is writing about himself. Hey, my name's Leib Rosh Yeshiva. You should just know who's writing this from Leib Rosh Yeshiva. And where was he the Rav? So he wasn't a Rav. He started off his is in the public sphere as a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Minsk. Minsk is Belarus nowadays. And the Rav of Minsk at the time was the Seder Hadaris. The Seder Hadaris was his elder. I didn't get exact years. We'll check it up. Reb Chiel Halperin, the Seder Hadaris. He was the Rav of Minsk. And the Shagas Aryeh was many years his younger, but was already Noida and known as a tremendous, tremendous Rosh Yeshiva, brought into Minsk under the auspices of the Rav. So the Rav, the Seder Hadaris, was the Rav. He chartered this yeshiva, brought in Reb Leib Rosh Yeshiva, and it started off well. And it started off well. And that was it. That was it. They had many disagreements. By nature, the tchuna of Reb Leib Rosh Yeshiva, the Ashagas Aryeh, he didn't play any games. He didn't play any games. He was a very strong personality. And if he didn't agree with something, if he didn't like something, he spoke up and said exactly what he wanted. And many, many a time, he came out against the Rav. And he would, again, it could be in Halacha, it could be in, so I heard one of the issues were the Derech HaLimud. Derech HaLimud. There's two different types. There's many times that Pilpul reared its head in the Olam HaTorah. Pilpul was by Rav Shalom Shachna's times, in the beginning of Poland, and the Marshal shries against it. Marshal hates it. It's the biggest Churban that ever happened. Pilpul. Maral was a drop older than the Marshal. Maral hates it. The Marshal shries against it. The Ramah deviates from his own father-in-law and learned B'derech HaPshat, not in Pilpul. And the Shagas Aryeh, this is now almost 200 years later, integrates Pilpul to be Mechade the Talmidim. That was always the merit. The merit of Pilpul was, we don't know if it's true, because I could find a common denominator in a single thread that runs through all 17 of these Ma'amar Koyimus. Now I have this tremendous binyan that could just be, what's that expression? You have something big and you just knock it over? Again? A house of cards, thank you. You have this house of cards and it looks so glamorous and you could just dispel it with one Gemara that seems to be Kenegedit Beferish. That's the danger of Pilpul. The Shagas Aryeh integrated Pilpul. He was a Chorif, he was a very sharp Lamdin, and the Seder Adoris went with more Pshat. So they're obviously going to butt heads in every drasha, in every psak, in every interpretation of Gemara. The Shagas Aryeh with his amkus is going to very often find faults and find flaws in the Rav's psak. Now, depending on your personality and how sharp and how stark of a person you are, that will vary how much you come out and deliberately put down the Rav of the town. And he did it once, twice, and he ended up making his own yeshiva in Minsk. That's where it progressed to. And the story goes, and no one disagrees about this fact. It came to a boiling point. The Balabatim of Minsk were so fed up with their Leib Rosh Yeshiva that they took very, very extreme action, and they shipped him out. They shipped him out literally. Literally, they shipped him out. This is a non-debated fact, that he was shipped out of Minsk on an Erev Shabbos Acher Chatzos on a wagon with all of his possessions, two oxen, dragged them, and wherever the oxen stop, Hatzlacha Rabba. And that's how they parted with the Shagas Aryeh.
He wasn't married.
What?
He was married?
With his Rebbetzin. How nice. Yeah. Yeah, Mamash, a one-way ticket out of Minsk. And they were very fed up because he was Mavaza the Rav. He was Mavaza the Rav. Leman Amita Sa, whatever. Leman the Torah, in the defense of the Shagas Aryeh, they sent him packing. I believe they packed for him, actually, which is so sweet. But now this is where there's a lot of great stories. There's a lot of great stories. I don't have a way to verify these stories. Some of them are said over by Mesoira If you look in Shimusha Shel Torah, there's a few stories from Rav Shach b'Mesoira about the Shagas Aryeh. There's stories b'Mesoira, so there's no way to verify these stories. As much as you makabel the Mesoira, and you, not necessarily makabel, you willingly accept this Mesoira, that's the validity of the stories. There was a woman who was very displeased with how, this is now, this as a disclaimer, this following story cannot be verified. But definitely, there is a woman named Blumke who existed. Supposedly, one of the women in town were so disturbed by how they were treating the Shagas Aryeh, irrelevant and irrespective of how he treated thereof, that she went and ran to bring him Lechem Mishnah, and bring him Yayin for Shabbos, and bring him Sudas, Gimel Sudas, at least when he's in the middle of nowhere, he should have what to eat. And the Shagas Aryeh was so moved, he gave her a bracha, that Yimale Hashem, anything you need, you should never have anything lacking. And that's where this woman, her name was Bluma, Hanikra Blumke. Now in Minsk, if anyone knows, there are stories about Aaron Sislover. Aaron Sislover, Baron Cutler, with his chaver Yedid from Tsetsevyan, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It was the creme de la creme already in their times, in the 1910, 1915, 1925. Blumke's Klois was still around for hundreds of years. Blumke's Klois, she ended up, this woman Blumke, there was a woman Blumke who was fabulously wealthy, who made a shul, which turned into a base medrash and a yeshiva of sorts, which had and housed Rabbi Aaron Cutler and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky well after 1900. This story happened in mid-1700s or earlier 1700s. So, that fact is true. The tale that's connected is she was the one who brought the food to Shagas Aryeh, and he then leaves Minsk. So he's now out of Minsk. He definitely is going to have a part two. We don't have a choice. In 2 weeks, we will have a part two for the Shagas Aryeh. He's now out of Minsk and supposedly gave a curse. How many towns have been cursed by Gedolim after they got kicked out? I know of a few. Anyone else? Bells. Bells got cursed by the city of Bells. Anyone? By the Bach. The Bach cursed Bells because they kicked him out also. They kicked him out, they sent him packing. And not a very unpleasant story. The Bach gave them a curse. So, there's a few, you know, famous cities. And this is in, the late 1500s, the Bach. Yeah, late 1500s, early 1600s. So, he gave some few choice words for the city of Minsk. And they claim that there were some sporadic fires that broke through and ripped through the city of Minsk. So where is he left? He's left as a traveling Talmud Chacham. I just saw another Murray de Gavaisa. Traveling Talmud Chacham who would go and a Magid used to go from town to town, say a drasha, get a few dollars. I just learned a new word. I spoke in a shul and they told me that, oh, we grant honorariums. I never heard the word. I just shook my head. I said, it sounds good. Yeah, wonderful. Honorariums, I'll take it. So, Amagi, that's what Amagi got. You got a few dollars. So he would go, and they say one Moiridika Maisa that he got to the city of Halberstadt. Halberstadt. And while he was in Halberstadt, he goes and he gives out Jerosha. And they were in a spall. This guy's a going. And the Rav, who was his host, gave him a very cold shoulder. Okay? Balbatim are seeing the interaction between the Rav and this guest speaker, who was the Shagas Aryeh, and they ask about, why are you being so cold? Why are you being so uninviting to this Magid? And he says he's being loivesh in a talis she'ena shaloi. Okay, so we have to figure out the years here. I just realized we have a shtickle problem. Because as far as I understood, the Sefer Shagas Aryeh is printed later. So he must have had another travel. We'll continue the story. We'll get back to the historical problem. He goes and he says he's being loivish atalis she'ena shaloi, because this shtickel is already in Shagas Aryeh. And this maggot shows up to town, claims to say Torah, and is trying to go and fool us all by quoting the Shagas Aryeh without quoting. Shagas Aryeh without choice says, yeah, that's me. So he was, you know, asked him much mechila and ends up giving him the kavod he deserves. And that's when, so this is why it's a little bit tricky. The Chagas Aryeh wound up in Valoshin. He was the Rav of Valoshin. Valoshin extended an invitation for him to be the Rav. This is well before the Valoshin Yeshiva. And they couldn't even pay him. He got paid pennies, literally pennies. So much so, he couldn't afford his basic needs. He couldn't afford Svarim. He would hang out by the Parnas Ha'ir, Rabbi Yitzchak of Valoshin. And this is where a lot more stories come out. This Rabbi Yitzchak of Valoshin was the Parnas he had. I was telling this story just tonight to my son. I said he was the Parnas and he had a Shas. And my son turns to me and says, but that means he was very rich, right? I said, yeah, that's what it means. If you had a Shas in the 1700s, you were fabulously wealthy. And the Chagas Aryeh was a Ben Bayis by Rabbi Yitzchak, the Parnas Ha'ir of Valoshin. And this is where, you know, there's a... Anyone seen this Sefer before? Aviyah Yeshiva's excellent Sefer book, whatever you want to call it. Unbelievable. About 700 pages, bedtime reading, about Valoshin. Its origins, and it has a whole chapter here about the Chagas Aryeh. What Shaychus does the Chagas Aryeh have? Because this Rabbi Yitzchak had a few children. This Rabbi Yitzchak was the Parnas Ha'ir, and this is where one will end off with one more fairy tale or story that cannot be verified, but very likely could be true. That the Chagas Aryeh was in the house. And this is a pretty famous one. Chagas Aryeh was in the house, and the Balas Havayis, Mrs. Valoshiner, Rabbi Yitzchak's wife, Mrs. Valoshiner is not a surname, this is of the town. Mrs. Valoshiner went into labor, and a few hours later, they come to tell the Chagas Aryeh, who's in the room next door, Baruch Hashem Mazel Tov, we had a baby boy. And he says, when? Where? Moments ago. Where? The room next door. Lehoi v'lei nivra. I didn't hear anything. There was no screams, no nothing, no ruckus. And he says, yes, the Rebbetzin, Mrs. Valoshiner, gave it her all not to disturb the Chagas Aryeh while he was learning. And he gave a bracha that you should be able to see from these kinderlach and all your kinderlach. They should be gedolei Torah who are Meir Klal Yisrael. And there were three sons. No one knows the oldest one, Reb Simcha was the oldest. Okay? Reb Simcha, Reb Chaim Valoshiner, and Reb Zalman Valoshiner. Reb Shlomo Zalman of Valoshin. And each one is a story is a godel in their own right. We're going to have to get back. But that was Chagas Aryeh part one. Rabbi Aryeh Leib Ginsburg of Wallerstein or Wallerstein, one or the other. And we're going to have to see how he wound up being the Rav of Metz. That's on the border of Germany and France. I believe today it's part of France. It used to be part of Germany. Where? Rabbi Yonatan Eibschitz is the Rav of Metz, right? Right. Rabbi Shmuel Hillman. He was after. Because he only showed up in Mitz when he was 70 years old. We're going to get to there, and we're going to have to stop. We'll continue. Amir Sashem. Kol Tov.